1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, insight talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. I almost said the entertainment show, Greg. And
well, technically it is.
It is the magazine starring Mr. Greg Isaac and Joseph Iardo. Okay, we got that down pretty good, huh, Joseph?
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah.
I need to say it within 2.5 seconds or else it just doesn't work.
Yeah,
so as long as it comes quickly.
Joseph Iardo.
Iardo.
Okay.
Wow.
So there's about
Let's
nine
Let's do it in reverse now. Try it. You're first.
Iardo. Iardo. Joseph.
Oh, okay. You know, Joseph, you have such a great job.
Yes, I do.
Why? Because you get to see movies all the time.
Yeah, well, you don't sit through some of them that I have to, like Lincoln, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go over that hate
mail.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. We'll get to the hate mail today. That's hopefully.
How many movies do you see a week?
A week? Yeah. Gosh, sometime between 5 and possibly 12.
That's incredible. Wow. And you review all of them?
Yes.
That's a lot of watching, eating popcorn, having a nice drink.
It's not like I'm drinking popcorn. Yes.
Ooh, that would be very difficult.
Yeah. No, it's not like I do that every time. I'd be,
oh, yeah.
A million pounds. But,
yeah. Yeah.
It is a great job.
I do it every time. But anyway. But it's good. Harkins popcorn is really good.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. If and you sprinkle some of the seasoning on.
Oh, you do that too?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And then you write, and that takes a while too to write.
It does.
Wow, you're like busy.
I am very busy. You have no idea.
But your favorite thing we know is the magazine.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
See? Told you. All right.
Because I get to talk about movies.
Yeah. Oh, I thought because you get to...
Oh, hang out with you guys?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Anyway, so we got a great show today. We have... who do we have here?
It's a jam-packed show.
Yeah.
Hopefully at 2:15, we've got Danny Way. He is the subject of a new documentary called Waiting for Lightning. He's a professional skateboarder. So this documentary, we'll review it here in a minute, but it comes out tomorrow at the Harkins Valley Art. And so we've got him around 2:15. We've also got the director and co-writers of The Collection, Marcus Dunstan and Patrick Melton. We've got a pre-recorded interview with them around possibly 2:30. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, we'll talk about Lincoln. We'll talk about my hate mail that I've received in response to Lincoln, and hopefully some sound bites from Kevin Smith. Yes, he finally called in last week.
And luckily we did pre-record it.
We
Am
did.
I right?
Yes, we are lucky we pre-recorded it.
You know, it's so funny. Ever since Greg mentioned Kevin Smith, and I remember Silent Bob and Jay and a couple of those
Chasing Amy.
Or Clerks.
Some great ones.
But yep. I just didn't quite recognize Kevin Smith. And then all of a sudden on TV, I wake up, I play the TV as I'm sleeping. It's usually on country music. But I had it on Epics for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It was All Night with Kevin Smith.
That was the event that we were trying to promo.
Oh, that was so funny.
Did you watch Burn?
It was his
stand-up.
Yeah. He's hysterical. Oh, yeah. He is a great comedian. And not only that, ever since Greg mentioned Kevin Smith, Chasing Amy was on.
Yeah.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Who was that girl? She was cute.
Joey Lauren Adams, right? I think so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
she was
her.
Also in Big Daddy with Adam Sandler. And
oh, she was?
Yeah, I think.
But that, I mean, he's a talent. He is a talent. Plus.
Yes. Yes, and it was a great interview. I've got to say, I was only supposed to have about 15 minutes with him, and I got a whole half an hour because he just kept talking, and it was a great conversation. So, you know, we'll probably use that interview over the next few months.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
But we definitely, you know, we'll try to get to it today, at least a portion, because it kind of works in with the hate mail kind of thing. Because there was I don't know if you saw that stand-up, but he really didn't like critics there for a little while after Cop Out, because they tore that movie apart. And
oh, they did?
Yeah, so he got on the air and basically told everyone, you know, critics suck and critics are useless and their job is garbage. And yeah, so.
Well, he seemed like a really nice person, too. Seemed very loyal to his wife because people were flirting with him. He said, "No, I'm married." And
he's hilarious.
But it is for mature audiences. Yeah. I'll say it that.
Yes, absolutely.
But he is funny though.
Yeah. Yes, he is funny.
Very good actor.
He's
too.
Great. Oh yeah,
he was in Chasing Amy.
Well, yeah, Bob and Silent Bob's always great because obviously silent, but then at the least expected time, all of a sudden he'll start talking and he's like a little philosopher in a way.
Yes, yeah, so. he was brilliant and you know the way he was explaining why he did these rants against critics it was just very. Insightful. I had no idea. So, like I said, we'll try to get to that. And
that was good, though. I did like it. But it's so funny. I keep seeing him now.
Real quick, and for both of you, but maybe more towards Dave. Where? How did he come up with the name Silent Bob for the character?
Oh, I don't know.
The 1989 Batman, the original one, obviously with Jack Nicholson as the Joker, Michael Keaton. Oh. Remember one of Jack Nicholson, one of the Joker's main guys, Bob, but he barely talked. He would always say, like, Bob, the gun, and Bob wouldn't say anything. And that's how he came up with Silent Bob.
Really? Okay. Yes. I never knew that.
He's very good, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah, I liked it. So what are we going to start with? We're about 7 minutes before Danny Way, the great escape warder that's ever lived, calling in.
Let's see if we can get some reviews in here, especially of his movie, Waiting for Lightning. Again, this opens exclusively at the Harkins Valley Art tomorrow, Friday. Filmmaker Jacob Rosenberg tells the story of Danny Way, a young man whose dream was to jump China's Great Wall on a skateboard. In his quest for greatness, Way continues to shape the very sport which helped save his own life. This is a very inspirational documentary. It's his life is just his life is inspiring in and of itself. So, you know, I don't want to make it sound like Jacob Rosenberg didn't do a great job because he does do a great job here. But, you know, when you've got a life that is inspiring, it doesn't take that much work. Having said that, though, I really I have a hard time watching documentaries when they're about a subject that I don't really am interested that much in.
Yeah.
Skateboarding, not really that familiar with. Are you a skateboarding fan?
Well, yeah, I'm a fan. I've seen Tony Hawk before, and I do watch it. It is fascinating to me on ESPN when they do all those amazing moves way in the air. I mean, 50 feet in the air. So I do watch it. Yeah, I guess I am. Am I a fan like hockey? Not necessarily, but I do watch it. I enjoy it. I definitely enjoy it.
Well, you might enjoy this then. You know, I definitely what he does is outstanding. And again, what he's been through and how he's shaped his life is just again outstanding. And anyone who's been through a hard time and is trying to come out the other side, they will probably love this movie as well. Me, I'm just giving it a C. I'm giving it three zines. Yeah, three zines. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just saying, you know, it's kind of there in the middle. If you are not interested in this, then you might not want to take a chance on it. But if you want an inspiring story, if you want a story about skateboarding, definitely rush out to see it again, playing exclusively at the Harkins Valley Art. Now, I kind of teased this last week, The Collection. And again, we've got the director and co-writers on the show today. But this is a horror movie. Did you ever see the movie The Collector in 2009?
No.
Are you a fan of horror movies?
No.
No?
I'd rather see skateboarding.
I didn't see The Collector, but I do like horror movies.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I love The Collector. It was a great, very tight film. I think there was like one drop of blood in the entire movie, but it was a very, very tight film. This is from the guys that brought us, I think, four of the Saw films. Mm-hmm. But Josh Stewart in The Collection, this is the sequel. Josh Stewart, he reprises his role as a man who, having escaped the vicious grips of a serial killer, is blackmailed to rescue an innocent girl, Emma Fitzpatrick, from a booby-trapped warehouse. And I've got to say this, the collection sucks you in, chews you into a bloody pulp, and then spits you out with complete abandon.
Whoa.
Do you think that's a good comment, or is
I
that
love
a bad
it.
Comment?
Did you write that?
Yes, I wrote
you
that.
You are a writer.
Thank you. Thank you.
This guy's a writer. Joseph Ardo.
I think it's a good... Ardo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, I'm glad that, that you got that. That's a good comment, because it definitely is. It is the second best horror movie of 2012.
Wow.
My favorite horror movie of 2012 is Mother's Day. We'll probably talk about that in a couple weeks. I think it might be on my best list of the year. But this is this is in my top 20. It's outstanding. It's much more massive, not to mention more messy than its tightly contained predecessor. You will not likely to have ever seen a film that is this gritty, gruesome, and ruthlessly gripping. This is very exciting.
Good,
I mean, there's
writing.
Thank you.
Very descriptive. Yeah.
There is literally blood in the first scene in the of the movie. I don't want to give it away, but it's not just one little bit of blood in this movie. They don't kill just one person. There's quite a few people that die in quite a spectacular fashion.
Wow.
Yeah. So the level of energy and the extent of its depravity make for one heck of an entertaining roller coaster ride. Hold on to your guts.
Wow. Now, do they do what they do in Disneyland and they get you integrated into the movie by actually having things like, you know, blood squirt at you in the audience?
You know what? They don't, but
wouldn't that be funny?
Some people might think it was funny. But no, really, it is that intense of a movie that you will almost feel like the blood and guts are splashing you, even though they aren't.
So if you don't like horror movies, then it's probably not something people...
Probably not. It's still a really good...
Like horror movies.
It's still a really good action movie, though.
Oh, it is.
I mean, there's a lot of blood, but they kind of say this in this interview that we have coming up, but they kind of fused the action genre. They took action characters and put them in a horror film.
Oh.
So these are people who are going to fight back. These are not just people who are going to, you know, do the wrong thing and then get, you know, chopped up by the killer.
Right. Wow.
So
now, since it's from the same people, as you said, that did a lot of the Saw movies, like the first Saw, I've seen a few of the Saws, but the first one's the one I can really remember. I liked it. You know, it's a unique story.
Yeah.
And to me, that also was sort of horror, but sort of just good story.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It wasn't just kind of the maniac going around in a mask, even though some of those movies are good, too. But so it seems to me, I haven't seen it, obviously, but, you know, as you were saying from the description, like one of those maybe that even fans, people that aren't big on horror might still like it, because it seems like a pretty good story that they came up with.
Yeah, the screening that I was at, the audience, I think I was the only member of the press that was there, but the audience literally stood up and cheered at the end.
Nice.
And they were screaming.
Really?
They loved it. And so it's that kind of a movie. When this ends, you just what you've been through.
So it's well done, huh?
It is a five zine. So,
five
zine?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a five zine. You know, I love horror, so I get really excited to talk about horror.
Wow.
But I think it would be a good kind of transition film, because it's not one of these silly horror movies. I mean, we get so many of them a year.
I like romantic comedies.
Yes, you do. He likes Mamma Mia.
I do.
Is there something you haven't told
did
us
you ever
yet?
See Mama? No. Did you ever see Mamma Mia?
The movie?
Yeah.
Did
you like it?
I thought Mamma Mia was great.
Yeah.
Just talking
about Knuckles.
Wow.
No, I haven't seen it yet. So
that was good. Right?
You're probably excited about Les Mis then, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I haven't
and
seen
that
yet.
And one of the Mamma Mia stars is in that, Amanda.
Yeah, Amanda Seyfried. Yeah.
She's very good. She was
beautiful.
In Big Love.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Boy, Big Love was a weird show, but I watched it all the time. Did you ever see that on HBO?
I never saw it, but I heard
Big
some
Love.
Good things, though.
It's very, yeah.
It's not on anymore, right? Or do they still make
No, they consciously went off there. I won't say the end. Well, the end has been 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He got shot. All right, anyway.
Oh, okay.
So no, it's not a spoiler, because it happened 2 years ago.
But you might, we'll talk about it next week, Playing for Keeps. That's a romantic comedy coming out this Friday.
And the 40 thing is
coming. This is 40, yeah, we'll talk about
that.
That's
very romantic comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime you
romance.
Have Leslie Mann, it's romantic comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, maybe not comedy, but it is romantic.
But here's kind of it's a comedy. I don't know if it's that romantic. Lay the Favorite. This one comes out tomorrow as well. Rebecca Hall plays a Las Vegas cocktail waitress who falls in with a sports gambler, Bruce Willis.
Ooh, he's good. I always like him.
who swoons her for her as she proves to be something of a gambling prodigy, earning the initial ire of his wife, played by Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, my God.
This is a great cast.
She is nice, too.
This is
Kirk Douglas. Michael Douglas married.
Yep.
One of his favorites is in it. Name someone else from the cast, and you'll see him
Leslie Mann.
It's a guy.
Gosh.
Oh,
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
I enjoy him too.
Yeah.
He's very good.
This is a huge cast.
I prefer Leslie Mann. Only if she changed her last name to Leslie Woman, right?
Leslie Isaac.
That's what I thought he was going with. Yeah.
She is cute though, right? Don't you think?
She's beautiful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Judd Apatow's a very, very lucky man.
Uh-huh.
but after having seen Lay the Favorite, the question that will most likely come to your mind might be, how in the world did so many talented actors become involved in such a tedious, obnoxious, and unfunny comedy?
Oh. Huh.
You know the obvious answer here with this being a gambling movie is that someone must have lost a bet.
It wasn't that good, huh?
No, this is a terrible movie. You know, I'm not giving it one. I'm giving it two zines. It's a D because the actors are really great. I don't know if they're great in these roles, but, you know, anytime you have
Daniel Day-Lewis was a good actor, but you gave it one C with all the hate mail you can
He didn't
accomplish.
Do a very good job in the movie either. So. So don't go see this movie. Rebecca Hall appears to be aiming for an impersonation of Katherine Heigl doing an impression of Minnie Mouse.
Oh.
I wonder
what that would sound like. I don't know.
Yeah, so not a very good movie. It's based on a memoir by a woman named Beth Raymer. It's a largely lifeless affair, and it's directed by Stephen Frears. He's done some great work in the past. Do you have some of his credits
up there? Let me bring that up. Name familiar. I recognize his face. I've probably seen him in some interviews. Still coming up. But what's interesting is I notice while that's coming up, High Fidelity.
Yes, High Fidelity,
was a good movie.
Yes.
I didn't see this one, but The Queen, did in 06. So, yeah,
so I don't know how he, you know, came to make this.
Sometimes it seems to happen when you have a great cast, too. Sometimes when you have maybe too many A-list or A-list type stars, maybe they don't fit the roles perfectly, or maybe the writing isn't for that type of actors, et cetera. So
right.
Seems like that happens sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.